Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok's Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Well, good afternoon. Happy Friday. Bringing into the weekend. We've got so much to talk about. And in the first hour, we have two guests. So without further ado, with further intro, let's talk with our first guest, Christine Zarnick, running for Erie County Comptroller. Christine, welcome back to the studio.
Thank you, Joe. Happy to be with you.
All right. Let's get lots to talk about. And first to talk about, you made an announcement about ErieNet earlier in the week. Obviously, a huge disappointment for Erie County. Your thoughts on just the program in general and the roadblocks allegedly it's hit?
Yeah. You take a look at what ErieNet is trying to do and look at history. Many other municipalities have tried to do the same thing. 90% of the time, those programs are financial failures, okay? And what typically happens is what is happening to Erie County right now. They want to build out, in essence, these trunk lines of broadband cable, and then they're relying on an existing internet service provider to do the branches, to go from the trunks to the homes and businesses, and they're supposed to pay a lease to ErieNet to tap into those trunks. Well, ErieNet has spoken to about a dozen internet service providers who have all said, we're not interested. That's a big red flag. They went forward anyway. The other municipalities who were in the same position, they ended up spending $20 to $40 million more to build out the branches themselves. They end up then selling the network because they don't want to be in the business of being an end user internet service provider. So they sell it at a great discount to one of those internet service providers who are sitting on the sidelines knowing what's going to happen. They swoop it up at a discount. Taxpayers are the big losers.
So we've got 18 miles of this. I think the big thing is they had no provider when they started hooking this up. I mean, this was the big announcement and nothing. Erie County knew they were putting fiber optic cables up with no one to supply it.
That's right. It was a very risky move to do with tax dollars.
And now we're 18 miles in. It was supposed to be 400 miles. And as we sit here today, they're still planning to keep on putting up what they have.
Right. And, you know, I had a press conference on this on Tuesday, and I heard some comments from our existing comptroller, Kevin Hardwick, and he doesn't agree with anything that I said. he sees that there is trouble with the ErieNet project. You know, after 6 years, they're many years behind, cost has nearly doubled. He acknowledges all of that, but he still thinks the project should go forward, and he, quote, hopes everything will turn out okay. We need more from our taxpayer watchdog. We need to know, why is it years behind? Why has the cost nearly doubled? And saying that, well, it was federal tax dollars, that doesn't make it okay to just throw it away. We pay federal tax dollars too. He should care as much about our federal tax dollars as he does our local tax dollars.
So if as comptroller, this came on your desk 6 years ago, you would have then said, hey, this isn't going to work. There's no provider, right? I mean, you would have put the stamp of disapproval?
Yeah, well, yeah, and I think one of the big roles of the comptroller is to monitor these sorts of projects, give an early warning sign if red flags start to appear to the county legislature. So when we're a couple years in, projected cost has doubled, we don't have anyone buying in to do those branches, that last mile, I think it should have all been put on pause. And that's what my advice would have been. You know, taking a look at what happened to other municipalities, it's not smart to go forward when we know we can't cross the finish line.
It was never smart to start.
True.
Yeah. Do you think the current comptroller, though, Kevin Hardwick, who will be on the show in 2 weeks, by the way, do you feel that he will go along with whatever the executive says?
I think that's a big part of the problem with the way that office is run right now. It's very political. I don't think he has the courage to speak up against Mark Poloncarz or Jeremy Zellner. And that's, you know, ErieNet, it's funding patronage jobs and patronage contracts, okay? But this is feeding the majority Democrat system that we have here in Buffalo and in Western New York. He's not going to speak out against that. He's afraid to.
The CEO of ErieNet, Melissa Hartman, from what you know, what does her job entail? How much does she make? I mean, what is she doing on a day-to-day basis for something that right now seems pretty stalled?
Yeah, she was interviewed a few weeks ago and it talked about unanticipated regulatory complexities. Well, she got tripped up trying to do this job because she doesn't have the background and the experience and the skills to do the job. Okay, she's never worked in broadband or telecommunications or anything like that. Okay, she was a county supervisor. She ran against Mickey Kearns and lost. And the Democrats gave her a soft landing by giving her a patronage job at ErieNet and giving her over $100,000 a year to do a job she doesn't know how to do.
So, I mean, that's pretty much why this thing is, like you said, that's pretty much why this thing is still there, because once ErieNet's ended, those jobs all go goodbye, right? There's no ErieNet.
Right. You know, as happened in other areas, in order to actually make ErieNet connect, okay, ErieNet hasn't connected anyone. And as the plan stands right now, it won't connect to anyone. No homes, no businesses, not without a third party, an internet service provider coming in and finishing that last mile. So without that there, they could build their portion of the project completely and still no one is connected.
So they're going to continue to build this just to not say we were wrong? I mean, is that what it seems like to you?
I don't know the motivation. I would love to. I think it sort of goes along the line, you know, we received this federal money, we've allocated it, we're going to spend it. But, as if it were free money.
But that's federal money that could have gone to anything else in the county.
Absolutely. It was American Rescue Plan funds. The county was given just a large lump sum. You decide how you want to spend it. So really any infrastructure project would have been an allowable use of those funds. They chose ErieNet. I think there are better choices they could have made.
Now, you talked about the provider, right, that they still have to find one when this goes up. I mean, is it realistic to think this project will eventually just, hey, we can't do anymore? And what they have put up, they could sell to a benefit of the county? I mean, or are they going to be out the money they put into?
They would never recoup what will have been spent.
Wow. And that's just more of the poor decision-making at Erie County level, would you say? I mean, there's a theme of this in the Rath building?
Yeah, I think so. I think there is a sort of pervasive mindset that doesn't respect our tax dollars. You know, if it's federal money, that's not county money, so they don't consider it to be precious. Whereas, you know, as a taxpayer, you've paid all of it. You don't want to see any of it go to waste.
You know, we've had so much about these debates between the county executive and the legislature about spending the money on hand or charging, right, getting a loan for big road projects. Do you feel that should even be a question? If you have the money on hand, should you not, as a county, be spending that?
Oh, absolutely. You spend what you have on hand first. And my understanding is the county has years ago bonded out for some road infrastructure projects, received the money. We're now paying interest on the bond, but they haven't done the work yet. Okay.
Oh, man.
So, there's a lot of issues and a lot of things that the comptroller should be following and reporting on. I don't blame anyone in the legislature for this, because it's the duty of the comptroller to watch the spending and report back. And not just to the county legislator. The comptroller needs to be reporting directly to the taxpayer.
Yeah, I mean, the comptroller is supposed to push back, right? I mean, that is pretty much the job of the comptroller. And it's surprising, because the county executive once was the comptroller, but it seems like now he doesn't want any kind of pushback.
Right. The comptroller should be the watchdog, the penny pincher, okay? Because it is the nature of government to grow and expand and to become wasteful and bloated over time. You need someone who's going to push back against it and point out very specifically where the wasteful spending is happening.
And for a county of under a million people, I think this government is way too bloated.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, is that like the obvious thing to say?
Yeah, yes, for Erie County, but for many levels of government. And you'll find that most of that bloat is in administration. Okay, no one would say we don't have enough police officers on the streets. We don't have enough people working on repairing our roads. But boy, do we have tons of administrators and patronage positions. And that's where the waste is. And someone has to have the courage to point it out, say that it's wrong, and, you know, rally the troops to demand better.
You know, so many people have asked about the illegals who were standing right behind the studio here at the hotel. And we were told that, hey, New York City's paying for that. It's all New York City. Do you think that's the job of the comptroller, to put what's really happening? Like, if there were county funds spent on that, should they be making that public to the taxpayer?
Oh, absolutely. And the question has been asked. So why don't we have an answer?
Right. Speaking of spending, I've been following the county executive, right? He goes to a lot of these conferences. He's been to D.C. twice this year. He's been to Philadelphia. He's been to South Dakota. He's been to Albany. All on these county government conferences, whatever. And the same guy, by the way, who said that your child could take a Zoom class, no problem. Do you think those things should be, because I asked Kevin Hardwick, I should probably give the background. I asked Kevin Hardwick, does the county fund these trips? And he said yes, because the county might learn something. Now, I haven't gotten any report on the county learning anything. My sources in the legislature say that he doesn't even come back and say what he learned at these conferences. Is that something, again, it's not the money of ErieNet, but it's still tax dollars. Is that something that should be called out by the comptroller?
Absolutely. It's a very legitimate question. And if nothing valuable is being gained by going to these conferences, why should the taxpayers be funding Mark Poloncarz's personal trips?
Exactly. I mean, one conference is fine. But like I said, we're a county of less than a million people. Like, I mean, how much more do you, you've been in the job for 14 years. How much more do you have to learn? Right? I mean, I think that's a fair question. Mm-hmm. Now, Christine, you're on the campaign trail, and we're in the height of campaign season. I know what people say, Labor Day weekend, but let's be honest. We're talking campaign. How's the campaign going, and what are you hearing from the taxpayers out there?
Campaign is going fantastic, and we're getting people reaching out and connecting through my website, through my social media every day. They want to help with the campaign. They want to contribute. They want to volunteer, and I'm happy to have all of them. And so going forward, we're just going to keep building on what we've been doing.
Any debates scheduled?
I've received an invitation to a League of Women Voters debate. They will hold it if both parties in a contested election agree. So we'll see.
I was thinking that, and also the St. Joe's debate, because I can't imagine Sean Ryan agreeing to a debate. So I was thinking maybe you and Hardwick would be at the St. Joe's debate this year as well.
I'd love to do it. If they ask, I'll be there.
Well, Christine, we'd like to host a debate here. If we could. I mean, Hardline is Hardwick's old show. So I would think that you guys would want to agree on that. I would love to moderate that, or you guys can pick whoever and I'll just sit back. But I think this is the biggest, outside of the city of Buffalo, this is the biggest county election on the ballot.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I think this race is the top of the ballot race this year, and WBEN and Hardline would be a great forum. I'd love to do it.
I think so. And again, like I said, you guys can agree on a moderator if, maybe I'm too one way. That's fine. I understand. But I think it'd be great to get the candidates to talk. One thing I say about today's politics is we don't talk enough with the people we disagree with. It's all echo chamber. Your past opponent, Sean Ryan, won't come on the air. I mean, he's the leading contender going into the mayoral race. So I always invite as much as we can of having both sides represented. So I'm hoping to see that.
Yes.
Christine, what are your social medias if people want to get in touch with you?
Yeah, the website is Czarnik for Comptroller. That's Czarnik for Comptroller.com. And we're on Facebook, X, and Instagram. So just, search Christine for Comptroller or Czarnik for Comptroller. Either one should get you there.
All right. And I'm sure we'll be talking more as we get closer to the election.
I hope so.
Christine Czarnik, she is running for Erie County Comptroller, talking ErieNet and a lot of county issues. When we come back, we have another interview. Congressman Nick Langworthy, yes, talking about the Epstein files. We'll also ask him a question about the Big Beautiful Bill and late night TV. Oh my gosh, is it finally happening? All that and much more. It's Beamer on WBEN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hey, welcome back. Joe Beamer on News Radio 930 WBEN. Thank you, Christine Czarnik, for joining me in the first segment. Nick Laneworthy, Congressman, scheduled to appear this segment, and when he does, we'll bring him right on. He wants to. He will be talking about the president's push to be fully transparent on the Epstein files and release all credible grand jury information. We'll talk about that and much more when he joins us. But you know, I want to go back to something we were talking about with Christine Czarnik again. She is running for comptroller here in Erie County. You know, these expenses by the county executive. Again, we don't know how much he's spending on these trips, but you know, some people say, Joe, you know, we get the point. You're talking, you know, you're talking about it a little too much. I think it's important. Again, if you want to go to these conferences to, you know, take pictures of your nameplate or how important you are, that's fine. I do think the taxpayers deserve to know what we, as taxpayers in the county of Erie, are benefiting from these conferences. How much are you spending on these conferences? Are your guests also paid for? How much are we whining and dining you on these? I think it's an important question. And by the way, it'd be an important question if the county executive was a Republican. It has nothing to do with the party. I mean, but this guy is traveling all around the country to these county government, you know, conferences for a county that's less than 1 million people. You've been in the job for 14 years. I don't understand. What could you be learning? What more do you have to know? And, you know, I'll go back to 2020. You told our kids they could take class on Zoom. Okay, well, if that's the case, you can't. I mean, you take pictures of the packets they give you. They can't email that to you, and you can have these conferences on a Zoom. To me, it's just it's a waste of time. It's a waste of money, and it seems like, you know, someone's just going out to networking events, trying to find their next job, because allegedly he's not running for re-election, even though he's having a pulling cars for county executive fundraiser in September. I don't know what the point of that would be. Where's that money going to go? That's something we'll talk about with Dave Leventhal on Sunday. You know, what legally can those funds be spent on if he's not running for county executive? Like, if he's not, can he just give it to the other person? I did think it was interesting in the statement to WBEN. You can find this article on WBEN.com, where a spokesperson from the county said the county executive will be hosting an event with the Buffalo Bisons on September 3rd to gather with supporters and raise funds. As the leader of the Democratic Party in Erie County, Jeremy Zellner might have something to say for that. But that's what Poloncarz views himself. He views himself as this leader that no one wants anywhere, right? No one wants you. The Hochul administration didn't want you. They didn't want you to take Higgins' seat when he stepped down. They jumped over you to get to Kennedy. So What kind of leading are you doing? You're pretty much just following. Hey, do what we tell you. You're not going to go to Congress. You're not going to go to Albany. But still regurgitate these talking points time and time again. So I thought that was a funny statement from the county. Again, I still would not be surprised. I mean, this is a guy who ran in 23 and didn't announce his candidacy until February of 23. So I wouldn't be surprised if he is going to run again. I mean, I think he's testing all the, I think he's testing every avenue and realizing there's not a job for you. Again, they don't want you in Albany. They don't want you in Washington. I mean, what's the next step? You're going to take Zellner's job when he goes and fills Sean Ryan's seat? So we'll see. For now, he's not running. But again, I can see him saying, well, because of Trump and what Trump has done to Erie County and public television, I'm going to run for another term. I can see it. I could write the script. It's very predictable. I mean, just like his social media, it's very predictable. But I think that's a story that we'll have to keep our eyes on. 803-0930, star 930. So this, I got the attention of this, this got my attention yesterday. There was a sentencing of a woman who was charged with vehicular manslaughter. Sorry, I always have trouble with that word. She was driving drunk with a infant in the car, and she hit someone and killed them. And today, or yesterday, we find out that that woman, who, again, hit someone, was driving drunk with an infant. Like, for me, that's a year in jail. You're driving drunk with a, driving drunk is already, you know, jail time, right? You're driving drunk with an infant in the car. You should be put away for a year, and I'm sorry, what kind of parent are you? I mean, seriously, I think that's a fair question. Here's the story. This is from Channel 2. This woman, again, only given 90 days for a DUI crash that killed a pedestrian. This is from Channel 2.
A Buffalo woman has been sentenced to 90 days in jail for killing a pedestrian while driving under the influence of alcohol. 23-year-old Nyona Cunningham has also been sentenced to 5 years of probation once she's out of jail. Officials say she was driving drunk with an infant in her vehicle last November. That's when she hit 62-year-old Madonna Bishop near the intersection of Baim Place and Bailey Avenue. Bishop later died from her injuries. Cunningham pled guilty to vehicular manslaughter.
90 days? Is that not absurd to anybody? I mean, here we are. We are in the state of the criminal. New York State for the criminal. How do you get away with sentencing this woman to 90 days? She was driving drunk with an infant in the car, hit a pedestrian, and killed them. That is sickening. And she gets away with a 90-day sentence? We have a man who was guilty of second-degree murder in the 90s. He's let out of jail. He breaks in with a gun. He gets out on bail. He violates a order of protection. He gets let out again. A dangerous man who obviously has a target. Now that woman's dead because this man was allowed to be out on the street. Now we have this pedestrian. She's dead because of a drunk driver. And what's the consequence? What's the consequence? The time? 90 days in jail. I mean, there are people who have done, you know, there are people in jail with far less drug crimes who spent more than 90 days. What kind of society do you want to live in? I mean, that is the question. What kind of society do you want to live in? I want, you know, I am, for the most part, a law-abiding citizen. Yes, I've driven with a suspended license, and I was put in handcuffs and thrown in the back of a police car, as I should have been. But I'm a law-abiding citizen. And I want to know that we are, me, my family, and my community, all of us, Western New York. I want to know that we're all protected. And that means that we have to throw the book at these criminals. I mean, I'm sorry, if you're drunk driving, all I heard is how awful it is to drunk drive. It is, by the way. It's so irresponsible. In the accidents we have seen from drunk drivers. And for this person to only get 90 days, that is a failure by our judicial system. It's a failure by New York State. And I hope that someone, I don't care what party you're in, someone in Albany wakes up and orders that we start punishing criminals and that there's consequences, true consequences for your actions. This is unacceptable. What kind of message is that sending? 803-0930, star 930. We'll take calls in the 2 o'clock hour, but we are joined by Congressman Nick Langworthy this segment. Congressman, welcome to the show.
Nah, it's great to be back with you, Joe. How's it going?
We're doing good. Congressman, so far, 2 weeks into the show, you're on the leaderboard at 2.
All right. We got to keep that streak.
I love it. I'm all down. Weekly segments with Congressman Langworthy. It's yours if you want it, Congressman.
I will take you up on it.
We've been a lot in the news about the Epstein files, obviously, has kind of dominated the news this week. The president has ordered full transparency. What do you know about the president's call to the Justice Department?
Well, you know, this week started off at the Rules Committee in the House of Representatives, which I serve on, where, you know, Democrats were trying to play a political football with the Epstein files and were trying to attach amendments to a cryptocurrency bill regarding release of the Epstein files. These are people that didn't care about the Epstein files or any of the crimes committed by Jeffrey Epstein for the 4 years that Joe Biden was in the White House. But all of a sudden they want to change the subject on the success that President Trump and House Republicans and Senate Republicans have had this year and introduce this topic as the new political football of the month. And, you know, so they got really cute with it and played games, partisan games with people's lives, frankly, you know, calling for full release of all materials, as you heard the attorney general say, would involve a lot of identifying victims' information, child pornography. I mean, disgusting things that were on Jeffrey Epstein's computers. So what we did yesterday in the House is introduce a resolution calling for full transparency, the release of not just the files, but the grand jury records, which are under seal. And as we were concluding our work, President Trump tweeted out to the world that he wants a full release of all the materials at the grand jury. And the attorney general promptly said that she is going to work with courts across the country that are affected by that and get that release in order. So we need to end this chapter, put this out there for the American people to see, you know, that there's varying degrees. I mean, we certainly have a sick and disturbed individual who's, you know, now dead and has been dead for 4 years, but you have Ghislaine Maxwell behind bars. And let's put it out there. Let's see who the unindicted co-conspirators are, if there are any. And let's see who is involved in all of this.
Do you think, you know, I was talking earlier in the week about the attorney general, you know, when she first got in the office, she said, hey, I've got the Epstein files on my desk. Do you think she oversold these files at the beginning of the administration?
I think that there's been a lot of people that have played politics with the Epstein situation. This is something I've never talked about in public life. I mean, I think any time you've got child exploitation, it's disgusting. We need to use the full extent of the law to prosecute and put these people behind bars. This guy clearly committed a lot of heinous crimes. He ruined young women's lives. And there were clearly other people involved. I know Prince, just from what I've read, Prince Andrew was, you know, very involved, and he's quite estranged from the royal family because of his involvement. There were others. And, you know, a lot of those people are now disgraced individuals for, either their involvement here or other terrible things that they've done. But, you know, this did become a convenient political, you know, whack-a-mole game. I mean, there are people on the right that talked an awful lot about it in the campaign, trying to make it an issue. And then now Democrats have tried to make it an issue now that President Trump's in office. Again, they didn't care when they had the power of the Justice Department to call for full release and transparency. So I think it's very disingenuous. I'd rather us not get into these criminal situations and really jeopardize and belittle the victims by doing this. The public deserves the answer. The public deserves the opportunity to make their own conclusions, because there's usually truth somewhere in the middle. There's some people that expect that there's this laundry list of people on a client list. I have no idea. And probably nobody else does either. But, you know, there seems to be a difference of opinion within, you know, between the FBI and the Justice Department as to how they were going to go forward. The president's made it crystal clear. Let's just put the records out there. They've got to go and see if a court will allow them to unseal some documents in order to do that. But let's get this out there and just end this discussion once and for all.
Congressman, I'll get in trouble if I don't ask this. Do you have a timetable how long this might take?
Our resolution that we passed through the Rules Committee yesterday, and that hasn't been voted on by the full House, but asked for some action in 30 days. Now, the courts will determine any documents that are under seal, whether or not they're willing to open them at all, and that is a matter of a judge's order. So the attorney general said she will get to work on it immediately. So I think this is something that will continue to, you know, have people pressing for. But the president made a very declarative statement yesterday. And the president has a real way when he makes a declarative statement of getting things done that he wants done. So I expect that you'll see some things, you know, in a month or so that, you know, will start to answer some of these questions. I mean, just like the JFK files, you put them all online. You haven't heard a whole lot of, I mean, usually when all files of a situation are revealed and there's a lot of speculation and conspiracy theory behind what's behind them, what you find isn't the smoking gun you thought it was going to be. So, you know, with these JFK files, I've seen no researchers come forward and say, aha, you know, there's clearly what was there. We also don't know in the last 4 years of a different administration running the Justice Department what information is still in pristine form. You know, so I think that putting the files out there for people to see, shielding the innocent, shielding the victims, and making sure their identities don't cause them further harm is a real important thing that we have to keep in mind here.
Congressman, while I got you here, I want to ask you, so last week on Hardline, Pat Burke was on the show talking about how awful the Big Beautiful Bill is for New York State in his perspective. Now, we've heard from Senator Ort, we've heard from Assemblyman Morinello, but from the federal perspective, Congressman, you know New York State, what do you think the effect on New York is of the Big Beautiful Bill?
I think New York is going to have to get its own spending priorities in order. Really, when you look at everyone wanted to talk about Medicaid, and I really relish the opportunity to go through this. For all of the declarations by my Democratic colleagues and Democrats in Albany saying everyone's going to die and everyone's going to be out in the street and there's going to be millions and millions of people without health insurance, what we've done is the people that Obamacare just said can have free health care through Medicaid, which is a very irresponsible policy, but one that has been the law for a long time. We've just asked those people to work. And if you don't have dependent, these are able-bodied people of working age without dependent children. And we've asked them to work 20 hours a week to maintain their free government health care. That's not a lot to ask, because all the people listening that are at a job right now and they work that job to provide health care for their families, they work really hard. And someone that's not working, that's receiving a free government benefit, and they're not disabled, and they're not elderly, and they're not a pregnant woman, and they're not a child, that's not what Medicaid was intended for in the first place when LBJ put it into law in the late 60s. So what we're looking at is fundamental fairness. People will know the law. if they choose not to follow the law, yeah, they're going to lose that benefit. But I'm never going to apologize for that, because this is about fundamental fairness for everyone. I mean, we have 43% of people that don't pay a dime in federal taxes, and states have had no guardrails on these programs. We've also plugged a few gaps with the hospital systems, where there's a, you know, there's a complicitness between the hospitals and the state to create these provider taxes, where the state taxes the hospital so that their revenues are lower so they can game the system for more money. We've put that system on a diet. And between 2028 and 2031, New York will be able to tax the hospitals at 1% less than they currently do. That 1% less, in addition to a work requirement on Medicaid, is supposedly going to lead to people in a mass die-off. This is how outrageous the Democrats' claims are on Medicaid. New York's budget, when Kathy Hochul took office, I believe was $185 billion. It's now $254 billion. They clearly spend a lot of money. We spend more on Medicaid than Texas or California. Both have far larger populations. You don't hear of anyone suffering in the street in those states. What we're asking for is for them to reevaluate their priorities and how they spend their money. So if there's going to be less money coming in, ultimately, by a marginal sum, they have plenty of runway to make the changes, to prioritize their spending. Maybe don't give a $50 million fund for illegal immigrants to fight ICE. I mean, those are things that Kathy Hochul's got us paying for that could easily fill some holes in the healthcare system in New York State.
Congressman, final question for you. There's a lot of people that are unhappy, I saw on CNN, about the NPR and PBS funding being pulled. Just your summary of all that.
I mean, NPR and PBS, I mean, this was something in a different era that meant a lot to people. It's gone off the rails. I mean, if you look at any of the news coverage, it's extremely slanted in one direction. And federal tax dollars have no business paying for subsidized partisan content. So, you know, I feel very strongly on that. If this was a balanced approach, I might look at the world a little differently. But it's also, we're in the digital age. Most people have a smartphone in their hands. Most people have access to free sites like YouTube that, you know, open the world to whatever you want to see. And, you know, when I was, you know, a little kid out in the country and had four channels, PBS had a role. But there's a lot of things that we don't have that we once had. Federal funding only accounts for about 15% of the total PBS budget at the highest estimates. You know, NPR, perhaps a little less so. But, you know, you look at like newsrooms when people had a when we had a, I heard a lot this week about how devastating storms that the NPR affiliates are the only way people can hear what's going on. I lived through a devastating storm, and it was the Christmas blizzard here in Western New York. The local NPR affiliate, their newsroom has basically been decimated. They kicked a longtime host that was beloved in the community to the curb, and they've stripped it down and just keep nationally syndicated material on there. People tuned into WBEN to hear what was going on and get their lifeline. And that was a commercial radio station. My colleague from Texas, Chip Roy, whose district, as everyone knows, was devastated by a horrible flood last week. He shared with us at the Rules Committee last night that it took their local NPR affiliate 19 hours to put on any of their platforms, social media or on the air, anything about the local flooding. Well, everyone was dead by then. And they clearly didn't serve as that lifeline. So I think that this is a relic. I think this time has come. We've been talking about this for generations. If this serves a purpose that they need, they can either sell more Big Bird dolls or they can get additional corporate and foundation support to fill any gaps and eliminate that federal subsidy, because the taxpayer shouldn't be there for, you know, content for the elites.
Agree with that, and thank you for the WBEN shout-out. Always here when you need it. Congressman, always appreciate catching up with you. You have a great weekend.
Great to be with you, Joe. Take care.
That is Congressman Nick Langworthy, back with Hour 2 after this. Hey, welcome back, Hour number 2. Thank you to my guest in the first hour, Christine Czarnik, running for Erie County Comptroller, and Congressman Nick Langworthy. If you missed either of those interviews, you can find them on demand at WBEN.com, the Odyssey app, or you can hear them as part of our show Sunday Hardline. They'll be joined by also by Angelo Morinello and Dave Leventhal. Angelo Morinello actually goes into depth about what is wrong with Niagara Falls and where it started, how we got to where it is, and, you know, what's step one of turning the falls around. Very informative stuff, as always, from Assemblyman Angelo Morinello, and you can hear that on Hardline this Sunday on News Radio 930 WBEN. All right, so a few more things I wanted to get to. We were talking before the congressman called in about this this woman that got 90 days in jail for drunk driving and with an infant in the car and killing a pedestrian. And I'm sorry, that to me is unacceptable. No one should be proud of that. And what has to happen for Albany to wake up? People in Albany need to wake up and say, hey, you know what? You're right. We need to take a look on this. We need to take a look and reform the reform. But unfortunately, I don't think we'll ever get to that point because I think you have people that don't want to admit they were wrong and that their policies are actually making New York State less safe. Here's the actual statement from the district attorney. Erie County District Attorney Michael Kane announced that Niona Cunningham was arraigned Friday afternoon before state Supreme Court. Oh, I'm sorry. This is just the arraignment. We are looking for, yes, sentenced this morning before state Supreme Court. She received a split sentence of 90 days in jail, followed by 5 days of probation. Her New York State driver's license was revoked. Well, I would hope so. On Thursday, November 28th, last year, at 10 p.m., Buffalo police officers responded to a crash involving a vehicle and a pedestrian near the intersection of Bohm Place and Bailey Avenue. The defendant was driving a Ford SUV while under the influence of alcohol with an infant inside her vehicle when she hit a pedestrian, a 62-year-old woman who was taken to ECMC and later pronounced dead. Cunningham pleaded guilty to one count of vehicular manslaughter. Sorry, I have a problem with that word. In the second degree, the defendant pleaded guilty to the highest court in full satisfaction of the indictment. DA Kane commends the Buffalo Police Department investigation, and the case was prosecuted by so-and-so. Nowhere in here does it say we are disappointed with the result. And I don't know how you can go back to your office, how you can go back to work saying that you are working for the people of Erie County, how you can go back satisfied with the result in this case. If you were the family of the woman who was killed, would you be satisfied? The person who took your loved one's life will be out of jail in time for Christmas? Even if you were a loved one of the person being sent to jail, this woman was driving drunk with an infant. You trust her around, your kid? This boggles the mind, and I don't understand how you can look at how elected officials, how district attorneys, how judges can look in the mirror and be satisfied with this punishment, be satisfied with how things are being run in Western New York, in New York. You know, John Flynn said a lot of stuff spot on yesterday. Chris Scanlon said a lot of stuff spot on yesterday. You're telling me that people in Albany don't see it the same way? You have all these Democrat mayors who are finally saying something in Albany, in Buffalo. I mean, then you have, you know, a lunatic running in New York City, running for mayor, who wants to get rid of all jails. So, I mean, you see where the mindset comes from. But I don't know how you can look at this situation and think that this person doesn't deserve to be locked away for years for the crimes they committed. But again, it's New York State. New York State is for the criminal more and more every day. We saw it yesterday. There's a woman dead because a man who was put in jail for murder in the 90s was let out. And then because of bail reform, couldn't be held. And now a woman's dead. He was on the loose. They got him. This woman, this 23-year-old, will be driving again. She'll get her license back before she's 30. Does she learn her lesson with a 90-day in jail sentencing? Maybe. Hopefully this woke her up. But again, you're going to let this person out of jail before Christmas, and before they're 30, they'll have their license again. And you're satisfied? You think that's proper punishment? There's a person that won't see another day, but that's proper punishment? That's insane. That doesn't make me feel safe. It shouldn't make you feel safe. And unfortunately, it's just more of the same. It's more of the same. It's so predictable, and no one's going to talk about it. You know, Mark Poloncarz is out at a protest last night talking about how awful Trump is. Is he going to comment on this? Is he going to comment on the failures of our justice system, the failures of bail reform laws in this state? Is he happy with this? Does he think that's proper punishment for driving drunk with an infant and killing someone? Sean Ryan, I mean, these are all results of stuff that you have voted for time and time again and have stood behind. Sean Ryan is very close to Mindami in New York City. There's a reason that the police department backed Chris Scanlon. And I do believe if Scanlon had run as an independent, he would have won in November. But these are the policies you voted for. So if you become mayor, Sean Ryan, you can't speak out against this. You did it. A lot of the issues in Buffalo around crime are because of things you did in the state Senate. But as I said yesterday, maybe as mayor, when you're seeing things closer to where they're happening and you're in that position, that executive position, maybe you'll see things differently. Maybe that will be your wake-up call. That's what I'm hoping for. I'm a very optimistic person. I'm hoping that something gets through these people's heads that this is not safe. You are not creating a safe state. And you would think if you're an elected official, the number one thing you want is for your constituents to feel safe. Unless it's during COVID and then you want them to freak out. I understand. But I would think that you would want your constituents to feel safe, and time again, doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat, because Republicans and Democrats both deserve to be safe, and independents. Everyone deserves to be safe and to feel protected by law enforcement. And like I said, I am hopeful that when Sean Ryan sees this from City Hall and not from Albany, maybe he will start sounding more like Chris Scanlon and less like Zoran Mandami. 803-0930, star 930. Pat is on a cell. Pat, I think this is your second time calling into the new show.
No, first time.
Oh, first time, Pat. Awesome. Thank you.
They should make it longer for you.
Hey, one thing at a time, Pat. One thing at a time.
Okay. Joe, the way the system works has nothing to do with Kathy Hochul. So I wish you'd quit saying that. If you don't like the bail these people are receiving, talk to the judges. If you don't like the sentences they're receiving, talk to the judges. Call the judges out by name, Joe. That's what you should be doing.
But like John Flynn said yesterday, it was because of the reform that the judges are encouraged to look at the lesser of the charges. I mean, it all does stem from the failure of the bail reform, which no, is not Kathy Hochul. That was Chris. That was Andrew Cuomo.
Okay, first of all, I know John Flynn. I love him. He's a politician just like the rest of them. Joe, bail reform was put in place because, I don't know, minorities were being treated differently than white suburban kids. Now, if you think that's fair or constitutional, then you've got a disagreement with the Constitution or with me, for that matter.
Well, no, I would never think that people should be charged differently because of anything but the crime committed, Pat. You know me well enough for that.
First, it's not just the charge, Joe, but it's the bail. So a kid in Clarence gets charged with aggravated harassment, and he gets an appearance ticket. He does it again, like in the case with this woman, and he gets a bail, and he does it again, and they don't revoke his bail, they give him a higher bail. A minority does it, he doesn't get bail, Joe, or the bail is so high that his parents have nothing to mortgage, nothing to post to a bail bondsman, so the sick kid sits in jail. And you know what we've learned? We've learned that the longer you're in jail, the more criminality you become accustomed to, and the smarter you think you are at being a crook. So jail is not the way to go, Joe.
I have to disagree. By the way, again, I don't think bail should be set because of anything more than your history, which I do think should play into it, and the crime you're being accused of. But I don't think that gives an excuse to just say no bail. I mean, you got a guy out there who violated an order of protection, but because of the bail reform, they couldn't give him anything, so he was able to walk.
That's not true, Joe.
That's exactly what John Flynn said yesterday.
John Flynn fought crap, Joe. When you violate an order of protection, it goes back to the judge that issued the order, and he has the ability to put the kid in jail, do whatever he wants. It's a violation of a court order. I don't know what the hell John Flynn thought he was saying or what you thought he was saying, but once a judge issues an order of protection, it's not willy-nilly. You violate that order of protection, and it goes back to the judge. In this case, as I understand it, it did, and the judge put a $50,000 bond on him, which the kid made.
Right? So the way you interpret it is that the bail reform laws are not to blame for any of the crime that we've seen in the city of Buffalo or throughout New York State.
No, that's not true. I'm not saying that either. I'm saying that you can't blame it all on it. I'm saying that the judges are handcuffed in some respects, but in other respects, like this kid was a repeat offender, it really doesn't apply to this kid. He was, and Joe, I want to make something clear, too. These people are only accused of crime. So if you want to change the system, let's change the Constitution. Because under the U.S. Constitution, you're innocent until proven guilty.
Well, he was not a kid. He's not a kid. He's 49.
Well, any person is innocent until you're proven guilty.
So let me get your thoughts on, what do you think about raise the age? What do you think about these 16 and 17-year-olds who are being charged as juveniles but doing crimes that are pretty adult?
It was a stupid move.
Right.
Youthful offender took care of it up until you were 17 years old, before your 18th birthday. By the time you're 18, you know the difference between right and wrong.
Now, so, can we agree on this woman who was just sentenced 90 days for drunk driving with an infant in the car and killing a pedestrian, that 90 days is not the correct punishment?
It's a horrible punishment, but talk to the judge. There's nothing in the law that forbid them from...
No, I know, but why are the judges sentencing so low? I mean,
because guys like John Flynn and the current DA and DAs before him do plea negotiations that allow them to drop the charge down to something else in exchange for that, because they're overwhelmed. They say they can't take every case to trial.
There it is. Hey, Pat, always appreciate the back and forth.
Good
Pat.
Luck, Joe. I'm great hearing you.
Thank you. Thank you. Don't be a stranger to the show. That's Pat on a cell. We'll come back. I got to tell you, you know what we have to talk about. It's a drum that I have been banging for a while, and that is Stephen Colbert will no longer be on the air this time next year. He ruined a show made great by David Letterman, and I am going to talk all about that. And why are sports media and sports people so, well, lame? I'll tell you when we come back on WBEN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Ah, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Oh yeah, heading into the weekend. Joe Beamer with you, News Radio 930, WBEN, 803-0930, star 930. That's the number to get on if you want to discuss anything that we've discussed in the first three segments, or if you want to talk about this. Yes, last night we heard that The Late Show with Stephen Colbert is finally going away. This was the announcement made last night. Well, I guess I don't have the actual announcement. Nope, here it is. This is the announcement made by Stephen Colbert that the show is going away.
Oh, hey, everybody. We got a great show for you tonight. Senator Adam Schiff was my guest. We harmonized on...
By the way, if you want to know why The Late Show is getting canceled, Adam Schiff was his guest. That might be part of it. We'll continue.
Seven Bridges Road. What a voice. I cried. But before we start the show, I want to let you know something that I found out just last night. Next year will be our last season. The network will be ending The Late Show in May. And yeah, I share your feelings. It's not just the end of our show, but it's the end of The Late Show on CBS. I'm not being replaced. This is all just going away. And I do want to say that the folks at CBS have been great partners. I'm so grateful to the Tiffany Network for giving me this chair and this beautiful theater to call home.
Okay. Well, it's because you ruined the show. I mean, that's Stephen Colbert, Jimmy Kimmel, and to a lesser extent, Jimmy Fallon have ruined late night television. You know, when I was a kid, I would love, I could stay up late on Friday or during the summer and just hear this.
From New York, the greatest city in the world, it's The Late Show.
Come on.
David Letterman. Tonight, Stephen Hubert Prince, Katie Holmes, music from Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds, and a top panel presented by Governor Rick Perry, plus Paul Schaefer, and the CBS Orchestra.
Well, it's all gone now, thanks to Stephen Colbert. And, you know, did you hear the lineup? Stupid Human Tricks, we all love to watch that. Dave's monologue, always hilarious. Katie Holmes, okay. A musical guest that I never heard of. That was the case like 3 out of 5 nights a week. And, oh yeah, Governor Rick Perry was on it, giving the top 10 list. Like, Governor Rick Perry was on the show for 30 seconds. Stephen Colbert sat down with Adam Schiff last night. I mean, you want to know why people aren't watching late night television? It's because every night you have a politician on, or it's you and John Dickerson crying over Trump being elected. And how am I going to tell this to my children? That's not what people want at 11:35. People either want to laugh, you know, something lighthearted, laugh while they're going to bed, or listen to UFOs abducting you, which we provide right here on WBEN starting at 11 with Coast to Coast. No one wants what you were providing, and it shows in the numbers. I mean, you don't have a ton of competition at 11:35, right? People are more and more want an outlet away from politics. And Stephen Colbert it wasn't funny. I'm sorry, it was not funny. Believe me, I wish Stephen Colbert was funny. I loved nothing more than turning on Channel 4 at 11:35 here in the open with Letterman. And then after Letterman was Craig Ferguson, right? He had the great theme song. He should have gotten The Late Show, by the way. I agree with him when he left because he didn't. He didn't get the... He didn't get the late show, and he's like, well, why would I stay here? And I completely understand. He should have gotten it. Like, it was funnier than anything Colbert did. By the way, the opening for Craig Ferguson. Do you remember this? This is when you knew you were up way too late. I mean, he should have gotten the show. It wouldn't have been canceled. Colbert made it political. I mean, it was every night. Elizabeth Warren, Adam Schiff, Bernie Sanders. People don't want that. You want to listen to Bernie Sanders get all crazy, you'll listen to a Rogan podcast he's on. I mean, like I said, the late night TV was funny once in the last 10 years, and it was DeStefano hosting, filling in for Kimmel and having Shane Gillis on. Like, that should just be the show. If Shane Gillis was the host of the late night show, it would not be getting canceled right now. Now, The Tonight Show will stay on because, well, it's what Johnny Carson built, what Leno continued. NBC will continue going with that for a while, just like they have with SNL. But all these shows that I regularly watched, they've been ruined. Like, I'm sorry. And, you know, it's because of this hack comedy. And it truly shows you. I mean, most people with a sense of humor thought that Shane Gillis at the ESPYs was hilarious, right? But the people in media, the people in sports media, they're not happy. They think that Shane Gillis should be barred from ever hosting again. The people making decisions are these woke individuals who they don't know comedy. Oh my, that's offensive. Oh, you can't say that. These are the people they would never have allowed David Letterman or Jay Leno on. So I applaud CBS. And, you know, I think Kimmel's going to be close. I mean, that's not making money for ABC. And again, it's just not funny. Like, I think Disney made a smart move putting Shane Gillis as the host of the ESPYs. Because, number one, no one watches award shows anymore. No one watches award shows anymore. Everyone knows what Shane Gillis said because they heard it. They saw it on social media. So, and now you've got... Predictably, you have these. By the way, I do have to play. This is my favorite Shane Gillis joke from the night when he said that his friend's wife was a four-time WNBA All-Star. This was funny.
Four-time WNBA All-Star Brittany Hicks is here. Give it up for Brittany, everybody. I'm joking around. That's my friend's wife. I knew none of you knew WNBA players. That's crazy. You clap.
And then the crowd, I can't believe, I mean, this is the ESPYs. This is ESPN. It's supposed to be fun. Sports is supposed to be fun. Sports media nationally has ruined it. But sports are supposed to be fun. And the crowd at the ESPYs was so freaking stiff. Like, they wouldn't laugh at that once they got caught by Shane Gillis cheering for someone who wasn't a WNBA player. Again, it's funny. And no one laughs anymore. Everyone here is afraid to laugh because they won't be on camera laughing. Like, this was funny too.
Megan Rapinoe could not make it tonight. Nice. No, we're going to pretend she's a good time. All right.
And then you have former ESPN people writing out about how despicable that was. People just can't let loose and laugh anymore. And, you know, for the people who do, believe me, they're not tuning to Stephen Colbert. I mean, that's just not what people who used to watch The Late Show, that's not what they want anymore. And Kimmel will be, again, they're protected as long as they can be by the people in management positions because, oh, guess what? The people in management positions are far to the left at places like CBS, NBC, and ABC. That's why I'm shocked that Disney... Number one, had Gillis host the ESPYs and had DeStefano fill in for Kimmel. I mean, to me, Chris DeStefano is the complete opposite of Jimmy Kimmel. And this is a guy that used to be on the O&A show back in the day, right? So it's interesting to me that they'll do that, but then they'll stand behind Jimmy Kimmel, who, I'm sorry, hasn't been funny since The Man Show. And Jimmy Fallon was the funniest. I mean, Jimmy Fallon was the funniest on The Tonight Show until everyone got offended that he played with Trump's hair, and apparently he became such a bad person that he had to go completely woke to save his job at the Tonight Show. And then Seth Meyers ruined the show that Conan O'Brien built. And Jimmy Fallon kept on for a while. But, I mean, that Seth Meyers show, it's even more political than the Colbert show. How that is still on, and they canceled Carson Daly, I'll never understand. So I say, good on CBS. No one was watching. It was getting real uncomfortable to see the ads before a Bills game. And to people like Liz Warren, who's out there saying, we need to demand answers of to why the Late Show was canceled. CBS is a public, is a private entity. So if CBS wants to cancel Stephen Colbert because he's not funny, then, yeah, guess what? They're going to cancel it. They're out for profit. That show wasn't making any profit. So usually you'll cancel it, especially when it's had as much time as Colbert has had to turn things around. And I mean, to everyone out there, I do want to say this to all the liberals out there that are saying, how could CBS do this? Can one liberal either text me or reach out on social media or email me, joe.beamer@wben.com. The vaccine, do you remember this when he's dancing around with syringes on stage with people dressed up with syringes? What was funny about that? Could anyone out there that knows comedy tell me what was funny about Stephen Colbert dancing up with men dressed as syringes? There's your answer of why that show's not on TV anymore. As we head into the weekend. Like I said, I loved Letterman, Ferguson, then you flip over Leno, especially if Letterman was a replay. Conan. You know, now, I mean, Gutfeld's funny. But again, you have to be in the mood for politics. But Gutfeld's funny. He has real comedians on. Florentine, Jim Norton. And I won't be surprised. Stephen Colbert will probably end up at like MSNBC or at CNN. And they'll try to go up against Gutfeld. And they'll just get crushed in the ratings. Because it's not funny. Like, unless all you want to do is every entity of your life has to be politics, including the comedy, well, then Colbert's not going to click with you. So I think he'd be a perfect fit at MSNBC. But we'll have to see as this plays out. I mean, he's got till May, and then that show will be gone. I guess the time will be given back to the affiliates because they've already canceled James Corden's show. So late night television, and by the way, it's not a sign of the times. It's a sign of the hosts. If The Late Show was hosted by someone who was funny, again, Craig Ferguson, if Craig Ferguson was hosting The Late Show, it would not be canceled. It's being canceled because it's not funny. You know who is funny, entertaining, informative, and et cetera? Tom Bowerly, and he is up next to get you started for the weekend. Tom, how you doing?
Well, I'm only funny looking. I think you might have gotten that wrong. I'm great, Joe, and how could anybody be anything less because the air is breathable again, and it's a Friday, and that's good, is it not?
It's great. It's finally Friday. The sun is out. I can't wait to spend some time outside.
Yeah, don't you get 90 days in jail just for jaywalking? I'm just saying.
Right?
Yeah, that's kind of ridiculous, but if it was a plea, it was a plea. If it was a plea deal, it was a plea deal, and the onus on that would be on the prosecutors.
Yeah, I just, to me, I don't know how you work that case. Even if you give the plea, how you can go home, look in the mirror, and be proud saying, hey, I'm defending the law in Erie County. I think that's shameful, actually.
Look, the punishment does not seem to fit the crime in that particular case, but the prosecution signed off on it. I presume that the victim's family signed off on it as a part of the process, possibly, but we're going to find out more. You've been talking about bail reform, and it's really interesting, Joe, because you said bail reform or is bail deformed? Just at the same time as I was writing that down on my little show prep pad. It was bizarre. And we're going to have, like, people talk about bail reform all the time, but can anybody give me a real definition of exactly what it did? Paul Cambria is quite the accomplished attorney, and he's going to join me right after the news at 3 to explain in everyday language what exactly bail reform actually is, what it does, and who is at fault if the suspect is in fact the murderer from Ogden Street. Is it bail reform or is it the judge? Because if an order of protection was violated, I've always been under the impression that judges seem to take that very, very seriously because that is a court decree, and that's like farting in the face of the court. They don't like that.
No, I mean, what good is it to get a order of protection if the person can just turn around and walk right out of the courtroom? I mean, to me, that does not make me feel pretty safe if I was in a position where I needed an order of protection.
No, well, look, it's not the first time that somebody who, and not that this excuses anything, but it's not the first time somebody who has been protected, allegedly, by the court has ended up, obviously, on the wrong side of a gun in this horrible tragedy. And we're going to find out exactly what is behind it. And you've been talking about what can be done about it. And, you know, the question is, are people like Sean Ryan, are they going to suddenly see the light? No, I don't think so, because, again, as you said, New York State seems to be all in favor of the criminal, while at the same time, it seems hell-bent on destroying productive taxpayers out of New York State.
It sure does. Sure does. Tom, looking forward to that. Looking forward to hearing from Paul as well, and I hope you have a great weekend, my friend.
I'm going to have a great weekend, Joe. It just started talking with you.
Oh, great, great. Thank you, Tom. Tom will be coming up next after the news with Puckett. Make sure you stay tuned for that. Paul Cambria, as he said, joining him right off the top. I'll be back Sunday for Hardline. Again, Angelo Morinello, Dave Leventhal among our guests. Tune in for that. And then you can hear me again at 1 on Monday. But again, Bowerly up next. Have a great weekend. Be safe, and you know what? Don't do anything stupid. If you're going to have a good time, make sure you have a plan to get home.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.